Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Elder Lloyd, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How you do?
I'm so well, thank you. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be on air.
Oh, definitely a huge privilege to be speaking to you this afternoon. Thank you so much once again for joining us. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to be talking to you the next 3 days, today, tomorrow and Friday, about the Holy Scriptures, a really important pillar or fundamental belief of the Seventh-day Adventist. Now, the Holy Scriptures, the New and the Old Testaments, are written, are their written word of God and given by divine inspiration. What does that mean to you? What do you take the Bible? Why do you take it as a divine authority? And what makes you sure that the words contained therein are accurate? And we're going to be actually delving into why the church, the SDA Church, believes completely in the authority of the Bible. And so the next 3 days, we're going to be basically looking at these questions. My elder, who's the author of this book? Who wrote this book?
All right. Thank you for that important question. But maybe before I delve into the subject, I just thought to make a note that the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as we, I'm sure, are well aware of, we do have 28 fundamental beliefs. Mm. And I was just thinking that there's a strange coincidence because there's a strange coincidence there because even when you look at the Catholic Church, when you read about the conversion of Martin Luther, you'd understand that it happened when he was kneeling on what they call the Scala Sancta, which is a very important relic in the Catholic religion, whereby a pilgrim, by going up the stairs, would get to heaven, so to say. So 28 marble steps on the Catholic Scala Sancta and 28 fundamental beliefs within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's just an interesting fact that I thought I would bring up regarding the 28 fundamental beliefs there. So first and foremost, fundamental belief number one is the Holy Scriptures, that we do believe in the Holy Scriptures. And I would also hasten to say that the fundamental beliefs of the church are not arranged in a random order, which is why, whereas we had had 27 fundamental beliefs, when we had the 28th one, it did not become fundamental belief number 28, but it became number 11, is because there is some logical order and a logical ordering of the fundamental beliefs. So first and foremost, our belief system is based on the Holy Scriptures, which is fundamental belief number one. And maybe just the fifth question that I would want to address there, which you just asked, is the authorship of the Bible. You know, when you look at the history of the Bible, you would notice that, I will say it this way for lack of a better expression, but initially, God spoke face-to-face with men, right? For millennia, even after the fall of our first parents, there was no Bible there. But as time progressed, obviously, men losing his vitality, having a weaker memory, and also many things, disadvantages that go with like a depraved memory, then this is when the Bible comes into play, where, I mean, in the days of Moses. So basically, God spoke to us through the Bible, through men. You see, God did not himself dip ink and put pen to paper, but he spoke to us through men. But there's an interesting thing around the Bible, that it was a combination of humanity and divinity. Men writing what God inspired for him to write, you know, which is more of maybe in a way symbolism of who Christ was, divinity and humanity. So the Bible was brought about in such a way, God inspiring men, and men putting pen to paper. But there's an interesting point which Ellen White brings in the book, Selected Messages, page 21, whereby he says that the authors of the Bible were God's pen men and not God's pens. You see, men wrote as pens. It was men using the man's mode of thought and mode of expression, but God just giving the inspiration. So to answer that question, God inspired for men to write, and then men wrote as men could write. I'll give an example whereby, say, for example, when Daniel could not describe that fourth beast in the book of Daniel, it cannot be that God could not describe it, but using human language, Daniel couldn't describe it. So it was a combination of God inspiring for men to write in languages they understood.
Yeah. Now, that it is God who wrote the scriptures. Who inspired the scriptures. Where do we get that thought from?
The Bible, I'm not prepared for that verse, but I offered, I will paraphrase, that the Holy Scriptures was written, it was not the thoughts of men, but men spoke as God gave utterance, not of their own thinking, but as God gave utterance, then men wrote. I will bring the verse in the next discussion. It was not already at hand.
I see. So basically, it is the Bible itself that says that God is the one who inspired these to be written.
Yes. In fact, it should be First Thessalonians chapter 3. I could just look as we discuss.
All right.
Then, okay.
Now,
it's the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Here's that to say. I could have read, but I'm having my Bible in vernacular. Yeah.
I see. All right. Yeah. So God inspired these to be written. Is it talking about all the testaments?
Yes. From the book of Genesis right through to the book of Revelation, yes.
I see. Now, what makes the Bible different or unique from any other book that has ever been written?
Another book, yeah. I can say that there are many pointers that differentiate the Bible from other books. For example, the men whom God inspired to write, they did not, for example, gloss over their errors. You see, as men and women, when we write about our experiences, we tend to whitewash our errors. When you read the Bible, you'd notice that even those who would write the Bible, they were very honest about what they would write, their shortcomings and things like that. It's something which is unique about the Bible. Then secondly, if we look at the history of the Bible, it attests to how indestructible it is. Wars have been fought from time immemorial, but there's no more fierce battle that has been fought, has been fought against the Bible. But still, it remains invincible. If anything, it gets from victory unto victory. We still have the Bible so many years down the line. I'm reminded of the example of Voltaire, who said that he was sick and tired of a faith that was said to have been started by just 12 men, and he had devoted his life to putting an end to it. But a few years later, history says that even his own home had been changed into a Bible publishing house. So much war has been fought against the Bible. But without the Bible getting into extinction, we've had so many books in history that have come and gone. We can talk of books about written by William Shakespeare and all those. I mean, most of them, if you talk to the generation the 2000 and people like that, they don't know about those books. But here's the Bible coming from right before Christ. It's still going from strength to strength. Another interesting thing about the Bible is how life-changing it is. But of course, the fruit of it is in the testing. It's in the testing. Those who care to read the Bible will attest to this fact that it is a life-changing book. Then finally, and maybe more importantly, is that there is a whole lot of prophecy weaved through the Bible that was written way before fulfillment. And even historians have confirmed that those things have come to pass. So a whole lot of factors will really confirm that the Bible is unique from other books.
Now, how is it different then from other religious books, in particular, including, the spirit of prophecy, which may many believe was also inspired by the Holy Spirit?
All right. The Bible in itself is the Alpha and Omega of knowledge regarding salvation. I would hasten to say that. On its own, the Bible is self-explanatory. You know, as and when we try and use extra-canonical literature, it would be because we would not be reading the Bible as it is. But it is a standalone text that addresses all the matters of salvation. As Moses told the children of Israel, that everything that pertains to their salvation is contained in the Bible. So that sets the book by the Bible aside from any other books, however good they might be. It is the greater light, and everything else we might read aside should reflect on what is already said in the Bible.
Lastly, is it infallible?
It is not infallible. Maybe I would want to bring about an interesting point here. That the Bible on its own, it is infallible. But time and again, you can get issues whereby we may trip over and not understand and things like that. But having to do maybe with how it was translated. When we would get the text itself being translated, you get so many instances whereby a translator would use a different rendering of a word as opposed to what is meant in the Bible. So the Bible on its own is very much infallible, but in translating it and interpreting it and then translating it, many faltered.
Wouldn't that then create an issue from someone else who has not interacted with thinking that, well, if that's the case, then it cannot be trusted?
When we read the Bible, it actually confirms that there is no standalone verse in the Bible. And I say it in this way, that to every verse that brings an important truth, there is another that supports it. So I will go back to that point which I indicated earlier on, that the Bible's answers to each and everything that it says. So the only stumbling block can be that we would want to bring our thoughts into the text and not outside of it. So if we would go to the Bible with a blank mind, willing to listen to what it teaches us, it will go precept upon precept and word upon word, and there will not be any contradictions in the Bible. In fact, this is one thing that makes the Bible unique. We'll talk about it maybe in the following days, that the Bible was not even written by one person, but the line of thought right from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, that you get one straight thought, no contradiction, despite the fact that the penmen themselves were of different backgrounds and different vocations and things like that. So the Bible, when read precept upon precept, you would not find any contradiction soever.
Beautiful. Well, my elder, I thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. I do hope that we will connect with you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place. For this afternoon, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.